Hello, and welcome to Enemies of Good Art on Resonance FM. This week we'll be looking at issues surrounding the production, curation, and exhibition of art related to childbirth and motherhood. Joining us for the next 60 minutes are Eleanor Carucci. She's an acclaimed photographer and artist. Her work explores intimate family moments and relationships with her children, husband, and parents. Eleanor joined us on the line from New York. Hello. In the studio with me, I've got Hermione Wiltshire. She's an artist and senior lecturer at the Royal College of Art. Her work investigates the representation of the female body, sexuality, and the politicization of that. And also with us in the studio is curator and artist Helen Knowles. She started the Birthrights Collection in 2006, and it comprises of work exploring the politics and practice of childbirth through contemporary artwork. Thanks for joining me today. My name's Anna Shorter, and I'm part of the Enemies of Good Art. And I'd like to just start off by asking you, Hermione, why you started making work about childbirth or motherhood?
I initially started to make this particular project on an invitation from Helen. She called me out of the blue, saying that she was commissioning work to do with the Birthrights exhibition. And I, in fact, had just had two children, and she didn't know that. So it was a wonderful moment that came together where I was able to respond very enthusiastically to that invitation.
We'll hear a bit more about birthrights in just a moment, but tell me a bit about how your practice had changed and what you were doing before, Helen's phone call and what work you started making afterwards.
Well, I've always worked in relation to the body. I've always been very, very, very gripped by images of the body, images of the gendered body, if you like. And I've in particular done a lot of pieces of work that highlight the female body in an effort to discuss female identity and sexuality. But I've also made images of the male body as well, but I've never been interested in a kind of documentary approach. I've always been much more interested in images that kind of subvert the documentary or a realistic approach, and I've always tried very hard to discuss the symbolic and to discuss language, to discuss more allegorical ways of looking at the body and looking at images of the body.
Helen, how did you start the Birthrights Collection? Take me through that.
Well, I mean, I guess it came essentially from my experience. I had two children. My first child was a cesarean birth, and then I went on to have a home birth, and it was those two quite opposing experiences which kind of led me to start to think, right, I really need to explore this through the work that I'm doing. And I came up with this idea to team up artists with midwives and obstetricians to explore the politics and practice of childbirth. So literally artists would work with, a midwife, for instance, Ina Mae Gaskin in Tennessee. She's kind of a radical midwife. She worked with an artist called Ping Chu. We had an obstetrician, Jim Dornan, who worked out of the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. He was vice president, and he worked with another artist called Jago Bloom. Hermione worked with a doula and yoga birth teacher, and also a childbirth educator from the NCT. And it was really about, almost a bit anthropological as well, kind of putting artists in a context where they could, like, observe practice, essentially. Observe how, these practitioners, childbirth practitioners, actually engaged with women. And I suppose what I was looking for was kind of work that represented these very different ways of working with women, because obviously that is really what kind of, you know, the outcome of a birth is about, that relationship a lot of the time, you know, very much about the woman, but her relationship with the people who, facilitate the birth as well. That was the idea.
Eleanor, can you tell me how you started making work about motherhood or how your practice changed once you had children?
Yes, I mean, I started photographing my mother very early. I was 15. So, and I just grabbed my father's camera. So I think it was just the first thing that really interested me was my mother. And I think she was for me something I haven't been able to understand completely, because she is such a complex woman, like every woman, like every mother. You want to discover the other side of your mother that you usually don't see. So I started photographing her and then her sisters and her mother. And about 6 years ago when I had the children, I knew that I will photograph them as well. But I didn't know how much becoming a mother will change my work. So this was something that was also surprising to me.
How has your work changed with the photographing of your children?
I think, first of all, I changed. I became, in a way, a more passionate person, and I experienced emotions that I've never experienced before I had children. But I feel that I also, for the first time, was frustrated with not have been seen images or the way I see it, images that are more honest about motherhood. And I think for the first time as an artist, I was working from some kind of need to tell a story, my story as it is, because I felt that most of the images I've seen of motherhood were idealizing motherhood, and motherhood is a beautiful thing, but I wanted to show also the complexity of it and the darker sides, or the anger, or the difficult moments that live side by side with the beautiful moments.
I mean, what do you, this is really a question for all of you. What do you think a viewer takes or gets out of looking at these images of motherhood, the ones that kind of show the, I guess, ambivalence? or what do you, Lisa, I guess, what do you...
I'm here in New York, so...
I think it's extraordinarily difficult, actually, because very, very often when there's images of something to do with the maternal, it's immediately, there's a sort of a knee-jerk reaction where it's immediately rejected. I think what's really hard is to go beyond what Amber Jacobs in one of the earlier programs talked about as the binary images of motherhood, between either some sort of idealization, I can think immediately of a sort of chocolate box romantic painting, and on the other hand, the other end of the extreme, the sort of monstrous, abject mother that for me is kind of, it's represented all over the place. In Alien, it's there in Alien, Sigourney Weaver, it's there in the book by Julia Kristeva, Abjection. It's there all over the place. The wicked mother-in-law who says nasty things. I mean, it's sort of, it almost infuses culture from the bottom to the top, really.
Mm. I mean, even like Frida Kahlo and Tracy Emin, I mean, they deal with abortion, but again, it's that very kind of negative side of maternity and motherhood, which, yeah, it's a very dark kind of interpretation, I suppose. But then also, I suppose it's something to do with... there's something about the very subjective experience of motherhood and how a lot of work is made in that sort of way. And I suppose what's kind of what was interesting about the Birthrights project when it was the exhibition was the idea that we were looking... It's not that we were being objective, but there was a sense of... these experiences being filtered through kind of these collaborations that were kind of sort of removed in a sense. Do you know what I mean, Tamaini? It wasn't totally about a mother talking about her subjective experience. It was about coming in and looking at, the artist looking at the mother dealing with the midwife, or, and so you ended up with something that was a little bit different, I think.
Well, why had you specifically gone down for that approach?
I think because in the sense that I felt that there was a lot of this kind of representation of the dark mother, you know, or somehow I was sort of drawn into finding some sort of, not objectivity, but a kind of a different way of looking at it somehow. I think that was, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just thinking of looking at some of the images, I mean, what was the reception to the images shown in Birthrights like?
Well, I mean, it's really, what was really amazing was, I mean, for instance, Hermione, she showed an image from a lady called, Ina May Gaskin, who worked in Tennessee. She has documented many of the births that she's attended. And Hermione used one of these images, which was in Ina May's book. And it's an image of a woman giving birth, very empowered, smiling, and the baby's crowning. And she's surrounded by, you know, the other people at the birth who are all touching her. And this image, basically, we wanted to show it. Hermione wanted to show it in the entranceway to the Glasgow Science Centre.
So what the image showed was a nude woman with her baby crowning,
yeah,
and being helped by helpers around her.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a bird's eye view almost.
Yes,
of
it
this
is.
Scene.
You can see arms coming in of the women who are helping her. But the critical thing for me was that she has a really ecstatic look on her face. So it completely goes against the sort of more conventional image of a sort of woman in terrible pain. It doesn't look like that at all. And I was fascinated by this image because it kind of just rejected all of a lot of the fear and terror that I found actually reinforced by a lot of the antenatal classes, the more conventional antenatal classes.
So what was the response in your...
Basically, the institution of the Science Centre decided that it wasn't the right, that they didn't want to show this image in the entranceway. They thought it was inappropriate. And when pushing them to give us an explanation as to why they thought it was inappropriate, they said that they wouldn't show this to their child. I mean, you know, perhaps if it had been a picture of a lamb giving, you know, a sheep giving birth, then it might have been okay. But it was the very fact that it was a human being, it was an empowered woman, you know, and I suppose it was I think we talked a lot about this. It was the posture that she was in, and, you know, what was it that drew up these kind of ideas about sexuality, essentially? And, you know, I suppose it was the fact that people thought that, you know, it was almost pornographic, this image. And, so that was the reaction.
I'm interested in your thoughts, Hermione, on why you think people found that maybe difficult to look at, or where they pushed it away. Or
well, I can remember when we were, before we'd even put the photograph on the wall, I had enlarged it to about a sort of A2 size, and we'd framed it. So it was on the floor, and there was a photographer there, Adam McLeod from The Guardian, very well-known photojournalist, and there was another journalist from The Guardian as well. There were quite a few people around,
Joanna
probably
Moorhead.
Six, yeah. Joanna Moorhead, mm-hmm. There were six or seven of us. And suddenly I unwrapped this, and suddenly everybody was gathered around the image, and people were saying, some people were saying she's very, very happy, and other people were saying she's not happy at all. She's being held down by all these hands. Mm. Other people were saying, no, she's not at all. It's almost orgasmic. And what interested me, and I think what interests me very much about this issue, which is so key, is that it flips so quickly between being something that is completely extreme on either end. Mm. Either she's being kind of tormented, or she's being
pinned down. Some people thought she was being pinned down.
Or she's in a state of great ecstatic pleasure.
Bliss, yeah.
And I think that this extends this kind of a flipping of two very extreme responses to images in relation to images of childbirth and beyond, I think.
Why do you think that sort of flipping occurs? Why does it? Are you talking about it polarizing viewers?
Mm. Yeah.
Viewers' views.
I mean, we live in a sort of world where there's so many images on the internet, pornographic images on the internet of women in certain postures, You know, we also live in a world where when women give birth, it is a very medicalized, a lot of the time it's a very medicalized procedure. And I just think that, you know, when people aren't used to seeing these sort of images, and so they're confused. They just find it quite confusing because, you know, how many times do you see an image of a woman, you know, sort of ecstatic when she's in labour? So, you know, I think it's just a sort of kind of a confusion, really.
For me, the confusion is sort of seeing the baby crowning and the stretching of her vagina and her happy face. And that makes me confused because on one side, you remember the pain, and on the other side, she looks very happy about it.
I mean, it's interesting because I made a piece of work which was in an exhibition called Walls Are Talking, and it was basically a wallpaper. And the way I made it was I collaborated with a designer, and I showed her loads of images of active birth and women in different postures, and she went away and she came back and she said to me, you know what, they're just like the calling cards in phone boxes. You know, like, and the lap dancing postures. So we ended up making this wallpaper, which was images of women in childbirth, but also in lap dancing postures. And again, it's like kind of flip side of these two, where, you know, where it's, you know, childbirth is a very sexual experience. It is a sexual experience, fundamentally connected. And yet, you know, there's a kind of uneasiness as well about that. And I think that's a lot to do with the medicalization of the whole process, really.
I think there's a further thing which is also to do with the difficulty of looking at images of genitalia, and I think it's also to do, it's connected with the problems of representation and the difficulties about, there's certain categories of images which are very, very hard to look at, and I've heard it described by Mark Cousins at the Architectural Association in some of his lectures as a sort of short-circuiting happens when we look at images of genitalia, and it's very hard for us to they're quite difficult to look at.
Do you think that's because, like, say for instance, the wallpaper obviously didn't cause such a stir because it was a sort of,
it's a silhouette.
Yeah, and it was a sort of like very graphic, but not graphic photographically, yeah. But it was like
graphic
in design.
And
yeah. Do you think that's to do with the fact that it's a photograph, or I mean, you know, if it was a drawing, like, are we talking about that kind of difficulty in terms of representation?
I think photography is in a special category because of its promise of the real, its promise of delivering something that's real. And for me, that is a sort of a problematic rather than a given.
Eleanor, I just wanted to bring you in again. It's I've seen some of the images that you've made after your cesarean, but I was wondering, was your birth documented? Did you photograph? Well, obviously you couldn't, but was it photographed?
I photographed very little before, since I had twins. It was a very medical birth that ended with an emergency C-section. I was just listening to all that you have been saying and was thinking that I wish I knew more. And then when I was rushed into the surgery room, my poor husband said that he's bringing the camera for me, but I didn't want to have the camera there, so I yelled at him. And then he said, I'm doing it for you, which at the time, I couldn't absorb. And he took maybe two pictures, then they stopped him. And I'm really glad that I have those because it was difficult to enjoy this moment. I was scared and in pain. And I'm glad that I have those, but I can't really call them mine.
The
images.
what kind of response have you had to the images that you have shown of the aftermath of your birth?
It's exactly like what Harmony and Helen were just saying. It's really polarized the responses, because with the previous bodies of work that I had, I didn't feel like I had such extreme responses. I mean, now people either love and very relieved by my imagery, both men and women, and they feel that many things are okay. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to have the loose skin and the scars. And I think they're embracing the images and really want to help me make those images more visible. And some people that are very upset and feel that this is not what motherhood should be, or that I'm exploiting my children, or so I feel on one hand a lot of criticism, on the other hand support like I've never experienced before, that keeps me going.
I just like to say, Eleanor, that I just had a little look at your website, and I really enjoyed seeing like the kind of work that you made before, and then this new body of work with like the cesarean work, and you know, the image of the hair that hangs down over the cesarean belly, and yeah, I found it really quite interesting. You know, the kind of before and after. I found that very fascinating.
For me, it was. I mean, I came home from the hospital. I needed to accept my new body, which wasn't easy. Mm. So I took this image for myself and then sent it to a few friends. And then I said, it's okay, you can share it. And I started getting really supportive emails about, this will go away, or you can use this cream for this, or don't feel bad. I mean, it was just at first a very therapeutic kind of thing that I did. Mm. And then I was thinking, this image can become a part of my work as well.
Mm. I'm very interested, actually, Eleanor, to ask you, because if this image was of yourself, and it was initially your relationship was very much, you took it for yourself, as you said, I'm reminded of the work by Rinneke Dykstra, where she photographed women very, very soon after giving birth in the hospital.
Right.
And somehow, I'm wondering what the difference is between you being essentially being self-portrait and you being inside the image, and then Rinneke Dykstra being outside the image and photographing the women really at a distance, as the camera is at a certain distance, the whole body is in. We see some of the context of the room where they're standing. We see the kind
right.
of hospital knickers. We have this feeling, and as a viewer, we have this feeling that we're outside the image.
Mm. And we see the expression on their faces
of
those women.
Yeah.
I suppose my question to you is whether you, that shift that happened, whether you still feel inside that image. When you look at it, is it a self-portrait?
I think I feel both, because I'm both the subject and the photographer, but I'm taking a picture because I want to look at the moment. Many times moments are so extreme or so emotional, and I find it somehow comforting to try and look at what's happening, to try and understand what's happening to me through my work. So I think it's I have both elements. I'm like the viewer, not from the outside, but I am viewing a part of my life. But I am this part, and this is something that is happening to me. And also, I don't know about Rinneke Dykstra, but when I photograph other people, I am much more careful, and I have limits, or I will not push or won't ask for a certain part of the body because I'm being respectful, or... And when it's me, I have no limits, and I can explore my body in different moments that are very private without being hesitant, which makes me get the intimacy that I'm after.
How does that? How do those limits sort of change with family members and your children?
They change with family members because I respond to the way they respond to me. So, for example, my husband has no limits at all when I photograph him. He's totally open, and it's something that he loves. It's a part of me that he loves and welcomes. Maybe that's why I married him in the first place. I'm like, this is amazing. This man is just opening up to me as an artist and as a woman. But some other family members had different responses to my work. And some I didn't even photograph. They didn't want to before graft. My mom was very open. My father was less open. And with my children, they are my children, so they're born into the reality of me kind of examining our lives in a way. But still, they have two different personalities, of course. So my son loves being photographed and is very involved and takes pictures, and my daughter less so.
Mm. It's interesting just talking about limits, but I've been basically attending births and drawing, doing observational drawings of women in different postures during the birth. And I've also been drawing women at actually more women at the very end of their pregnancy, because it is actually quite hard to get a woman to agree to having you there at birth. But what, you know, talking about, but also, but talking about limits, when we did the Birthrights collaborations, Andy Lawrence, who made a film with Judith Kuratach, he, you know, was looking for women to film. And, you know, found it really easy to get women to want to be filmed, right?
During their birth.
During their birth, yeah. But I found that asking women to draw them at their birth has been really, really difficult. And I've been trying to work this out. You know, is it because it's like, is drawing, because it is a very intimate experience. I don't know if having a camera is somehow slightly less intimate. But yeah, it's just something that I've just found, you know, discovered doing this work, and I just wondered if anybody has this kind of any thoughts about this. Or
I would actually think it would be the opposite.
You'd think so.
Yeah, so I'm actually surprised to hear it.
Yeah, but somehow sometimes I think women can kind of disengage themselves in a way that even when they're giving birth and they're putting in a very medical environment and there's all these instruments and machinery around them, they kind of almost disengage themselves from that process. But when you're with another woman and you're, you know, it's just you and you're physically there drawing, it's like with the second midwife I had, you know, with a home birth. When I was having a cesarean, I was like, I just whipped all my clothes off. I wasn't bothered. There was hundreds of people in the room. I just didn't care because it felt so impersonal, right? And I remember when the midwife came, Judith, who I know very, very well, and she came and I was in labour, and I suddenly had this feeling like, oh, should I take my clothes off now? Because I knew her so well. It's such a kind of converse thing,
it's,
you know, the
yeah.
So anyway, I don't know, it's just an interesting thing about intimacy.
I know that, you know, when I was going through labor and I asked my mom and my husband to leave, which I really didn't think that I will, but part of it was that them seeing my suffering and worry so much was burdening me, and I couldn't deal with them and with worrying about them worrying about me. And I really wanted to stay. There was this one nurse there that really helped me. And all I wanted was her, this stranger. Mm-hmm. I don't even know her name. Mm-hmm. But she understood what I was going through. She wasn't freaking out about it. And I guess maybe my mother and husband have been too worried to stay. Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in some of the responses that you've had to your work, Eleanor. I mean, one of our guests on our show last week mentioned that you had been under some pressure to not show some of the images that you had wanted to show at some points in galleries, and I just wanted to ask you about that. I mean, to tell me about the images that they were and the reasons that people gave for maybe not wanting to show them.
Right. The reasons are commercial. I mean, they're commercial.
What were the images of, firstly?
I think the work, which most of it hasn't been shown, some of it was shown at the James Hyman Gallery about 10 months ago. And James loves and supports this body of work. But the work is a mixture of moments from family life, from childhood and motherhood, and some of them are, you know, runny noses, snot coming out of the nose of my child, stretch marks, the hair that I lost, stitches. So some of them are not and not maybe pretty or aesthetic in the conservative way that we're used to thinking about pretty and aesthetics.
So are these images that some galleries have refused to display?
Yes, yes. And these were the images, I mean, that some galleries wanted to stay away from because they might be disturbing. Some of those images are about the sensual or even sexual elements in motherhood and how my body, I felt, was belonged to my children for a long while. And I think that this is a beautiful thing that I'm trying to share. So some of the galleries wanted to show an edit that will be, again, images that I have because they exist, of the more Madonna and Child and the softer, more beautiful images. And I couldn't do it. I really didn't want to do it.
Tell me again what the reasons they were giving you.
I think the reasons are, as I said, commercial. Those images might not be sellable, so a gallery will end up spending all the money about framing and doing a show. It's an expensive process for a gallery, and then either upset some potential clients or won't sell some images. So I tried. I mean, it was disappointing to me, but I will just try to find other venues that will show my work as it is and not in a manipulated edit.
Is this something behind that Hermione and Helen, that you've come into contact with, this?
I think for the collection, it's more about institutions and what they deem as okay for people to see, which again comes down to a commercial, you know, thing. Like, for instance, you know, currently the image Hermione made with, you know, the Ina May Gaskin image, Therese crowning an ecstatic childbirth, it's called. Basically, that's in a locked room in Salford University in the midwifery department, because the university administration said it wasn't okay to put it on the corridors. Now, the midwives who work there and the students obviously all wanted it on the corridor because that's what they're doing every day. But, yeah, the administration didn't think it was appropriate. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of about... the interesting thing was the Manchester Museum, when they showed the work, they were really open. They put it next to where the there was like a children's area, you know. And they were just like, their approach was, if we come up against a problem, we'll deal with it then, kind of thing. You know, so they were really relaxed about it. And I think that really worked because they didn't come up against a problem. So individuals, I mean, individuals do have responses to it, you know. Even one of the student midwives who I took round, you know, when I was giving a talk about the whole show, a student midwife found it disgusting, which evidently was more about what she was feeling about the process, you know. And
it's a bit scary if a midwife finds that image disgusting.
She ended up dropping off the course, so, you know. But, you know, it's like, you know, but... So it's interesting. It's more like kind of people making decisions for what they think's okay for other people to see, as opposed to, you know, actual people just coming along looking at it and having a response to it, which is...
Right, I agree.
But if you analyse that and you look at historical examples, like when the Robert Mapplethorpe exhibition was cancelled in America before it actually reached the city where the museum was, by the mayor, it fascinates me really, because I think that that's a lot to do with the kind of rumoured fear. It's the terror that that might happen if you lay your eyes on images that might be too much for you, and that's always really compelled me. Actually, it's before even looking, it's the anticipation of looking that is just as powerful, if not more.
I think the other thing that's interesting, I think me and Anna talked about this earlier, but, you know, YouTube is this amazing kind of
resource
of imagery where people...
Repository,
where people are putting up, you know, their unassisted births, their cesarean births, their... You know, they're putting up all these different kinds of childbirths that are theirs, you know, for everybody to see. And, you know, you know, what's fascinating is that it's, you know, that us who are like decide, well, I mean, it's not censored. Well, some of it is actually a little bit censored, but, you know, there's no institution. The institution is us. And I mean, that's something that I'm very interested in the collection, in finding artists who actually will start to work with YouTube and have a look at, you know, just making some work in that kind of genre, really.
Hermione, going back to this sort of anticipation of terror or offence that that people might have about these images, I mean, how does an artist deal with them? And how do you then deal with it? I mean, are you interested in finding out why there is this this fear? Or
I think there's a certain category of images that are difficult to look at. For instance, images of dead bodies. In the recent exhibition at the Tate about of surveillance. I can't remember what it's called, but there were particular images that I found extremely difficult to look at that were taken from the camps from at the end, when the camps were opened at the end of the Second World War, and bodies tossed aside. It's very, very hard to actually rest your eyes on images, I find it so. And I think there's particular images that almost... they're too difficult to actually take on board and take in or to ponder on.
And images of crowning, are they in?
I think an image of crowning is in particular even further. I think it's difficult because not only is it an image of female genitals, but also the appearance, the first appearance of this other body, this new body, the head of the baby, is also very phallic, and it also could easily be the top or the tip of a penis as it was becoming erect. And that's as if the two genders were subsumed into one image. I think that's extraordinarily difficult to think about.
Where does that leave an artist who wants to think about it or who wants to investigate that further?
Well, I think you can. I always love the idea that if you look at the word obscene, the etymological source of that, or the origin of that, obscene means off scene, out of view, things which are difficult to look at, a disgust, if you like, out of view. So you have to use other methods. You have to use language. You have to use innuendo. You have to use jokes. You have to use inference. You have to use poetry, song, etc., in order to be able to go into more detail. And I think that's where artists come in.
It's gone out of my head. It's just about crowning. And, the fact that, you know, a woman doesn't ever see herself like the baby crown. You know,
I think
we talked about this point of view, you know, where, you know, it's the midwife and the obstetrician who actually have this kind of, you know, this incredible view, really, which, you know, and nobody...
And maybe your birth partners who are present.
Yeah. But so it's kind of a very selective... view as well, and you know,
so, I mean, is that why it's so shocking? Because no matter how many women go through birth and labour, they're not likely to see their baby crown. It's not an image that stays with you. So when you're confronted with it,
yeah, I'm not sure if it's always women though that have a problem with it. I don't know, is it?
No,
some women have. I mean, you know, for instance, the student midwife, but you know.
I think it is very, very interesting, the idea of it. That's why I was asking the question to Eleanor, actually, about the self-portraiture, because I think when there's an image of yourself, I think, again, that's also strange things happen when it's looking at a picture of yourself and you can't, because because this kind of narcissism of that relationship with the image is quite difficult to get beyond. So it interested me very much that Eleanor could be both the subject and also the producer of the image and the viewer of it. I find that quite
odd. And I think a lot of it for me is about not really knowing what I'm saying or what I'm photographing, because I'm in the middle of this like emotional storm, or so I think in this way it's maybe different, because as the artist I will only find out later what I was photographing.
But even when you had, I remember when you did the talk, Eleanor, at the Royal College of Art recently, you were talking about having, how you preferred, you were telling the students how you preferred 35mm because you could have a small camera in one hand and a small baby in the other hand. And I imagine that there must be a part of you always that has a certain distance from what's going on, that can think, oh God, I got to pick up my camera and take just one frame. Or
I think I don't know if it's a distance, but it's seeing something that I really don't want to lose, and then being aware of this like special moment. To me it's very special, and then I distant myself a little bit to save it. So there is a distance, but it's coming from closeness, I guess.
I mean, are there any images, Eleanor, that you take and you decide not to show, or you think it's these are too private, I can't show them? I mean, how
I mean, there. First of all, there are images that just don't come out successful, and also there are the images that I used to show my mom or my grandmother or my cousin, and they veto those. And with my children, I'm more careful than before, I think. So many images I edit out.
How do you decide to edit them out? I mean, I'm trying to get an idea of how you decide. I mean, what decisions you make. What?
A lot of them are just like images in the nudes that I will decide to try and take a different version, because because I don't know how my children will react to my work, so I'm on the careful side. Maybe some of those images I'll edit out, I can go back to when my children are old enough, and they can look at them and see if we can share those. But for now, it's not that I'm not standing behind those images. I'm just careful because they're children.
Do you ever feel any kind of a conflict between what you want for, say, your children as a mother, and what you want from your children as for the images that you make of them?
Yeah, I mean, I feel the minute I became a mother, it's all about conflict, what you want to do with your day and what you end up doing with it. So I think the conflict between you as an individual and sometimes you as a mother, sometimes both live in harmony, and sometimes both are like battling each other on many issues, not only my work.
Is that is it separate from you, what you want as an artist and a photographer?
Sometimes it is. Sometimes the mother, usually it's the mother who wins. The mother wins the artist, and I will take a decision, decided to edit out an image that I think is good and interesting and important. I'll edit it out. Yes, so they do fight, those two, inside of me.
Eleanor's calling it a fight. Is that something that you've experienced? I mean, would you characterize the interaction of your mothering roles and responsibilities and what you do as an artist? Do those roles ever fight or conflict?
I think for me, it's filled with an enormous amount of anxiety, actually, because I think that. In fact, this came up recently in discussion, because I think that if you think of the work as an artist broadly being something that's at its source comes from the unconscious, raking in all sorts of things, be they nice, nasty, acceptable, unacceptable. And then you think about the extraordinary care that I would want to offer my own children. And those two do conflict for me, actually. Or they don't exactly conflict, but they cause me a certain amount of fear that perhaps working as an artist might, or the sourcing my unconscious might be in some way, perhaps. It was suggested to me recently, might in some way, I might be anxious that it would hurt my children.
How?
I suppose if my my unconscious is unleashed, then and unheralded and in a sort of an antisocial way, then this might, they might suffer from that. Mm. That's always an anxiety.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was showing my son Eleanor's picture of her child looking at her sort of pubic hair and down her knickers. And his immediate reaction was like that. And then he sort of stopped and he thought about it a little bit. And somehow it was just that experience of showing him your work, Eleanor, that kind of talks about what we're saying. It's about, you know, trying to tie all these things, your work as an artist together. You're making work about, women's bodies, about childbirth. And then you show your son this work and his immediate reaction to it and how he feels about it. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't all just fit together, you know, at all. And so, that was just interest somehow, yeah.
I think
on the other hand, I feel that sometimes it is, for my children, the fact that those images are a part of our life, it does give them ease with a lot of issues. Mm. So sometimes I welcome the artist into the motherhood part, and I think that they gain a lot from it. So it's just complex. It's sometimes I fear it. And sometimes I think it's wonderful for them.
I think one of the difficulties for me is that these images that I'm so drawn to, I think, are also one of the reasons that they're very hard to look at, is that they're also very deathly, and that the threat of death is there, and that somehow the image of death is there. And my attitude towards death changed really radically once I'd had children. I'd thought that I'd had a certain relation to my own death,
How would you characterize that relation?
I felt that I was sort of, I wasn't afraid, that I was kind of okay with it. But having children, from the moment of being pregnant, really, and having children and bringing up a family, sort of makes me completely rethink or re-feel all things to do with death. And the fear of death is just intensified, but
intensified in a way that it wasn't before you had
it ad infinitum. Yes,
you're confronted with, you're confronted with, I suppose, your mortality when you give birth. At the same time, and I think, it was the same for me. You know, you really get to see fear stands there right in front of you, and you kind of but you get through it, and then you start to have a perspective on it, and it does give you a lot of strength, actually, I think.
But I think that's one of the other things that perhaps feeds in, and what I found so much with the work that I did for Birthrights was that the NCT classes for me seemed to feed that fear. The terror of childbirth seemed to also be about the terror of death, and the fact that it was also very treacherous, childbirth, and treacherous for the baby and treacherous for the mother, and that how difficult that was to talk about and how difficult that was to prepare the mothers for. So it's much easier to say to mums on NCT classes, oh, don't forget your cushion and your ice cubes and your whatever it is, toothbrush or something, and much harder to talk about the anxiety about dying or your baby dying.
Yeah, and yet also on the other side, it's positive images of birth that can really reinforce and enable a woman to have a good birth. So it's kind of the two, it's about acknowledging both things, I think. Not just sort of dwelling in the kind of like the trauma and the difficult side of it, but also kind of really sort of trying to empower women. And I think that's where these images can really come into play as well. So,
and this is what the Kathleen Beek and the doula and yoga birth teacher who I went to initially as a pregnant woman, but then after working with her, this is what she really, really emphasized.
And that was through your collaboration with Birthrights? with this, with this doula? What did she emphasise?
She emphasised, she really, really encouraged women to, she still does, encourage women to take the whole process, take responsibility for the whole process themselves as much as possible, and gather as much information, learn about it, not just go for the first option. Lots of people would start her classes and all booked into a hospital, ready to climb up onto a bed and have an elective C-section, and end just before they're giving birth, wanting a home birth and feeling confident. And she would do that through her classes. A very, very inspiring woman.
Helen, I mean, is there a political kind of outcome that you want from your project, from your collection or the Birthrights collection?
No.
I mean, are you hoping to change people's minds? Is there?
I'm just interested in generating a lot of imagery around childbirth so that it ignites discussion. It, you know, it gets people to start thinking about, you know, their births, you know. And of course that is political on
but
a level.
But it is imagery within an art context.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, I don't...
I mean, it's not just generating imagery. You're getting artists and to work with professionals in the medical areas to do this. I mean,
working with the professionals, that was part of the Birthrights exhibition, and that's what happened between 2006 and 2008. And then from 2008, we launched the collection. So the commissions that came out of the exhibition are the basis for the collection. And now the collection's housed in Salford in the midwifery department in the university, and it's also housed in the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists in London. And the idea is that, you know, we commission new work. We just held a competition for new works, and we selected eight and put them up on the website, and there was a public vote, and actually Annabelle Newfield won, and it was a short film. Which is very, you know, very interesting that it was a short film that won, actually, as opposed to actual artworks. So, you know, and also finding artists who already, you know, make work about this subject. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just really about sort of producing more work, generating discussion, really.
So how easy is it to find funding for projects like this in the current climate?
Well, it's got a lot more difficult. When we started Birthrights, we got fantastic support from the Arts Council, Network for Social Change, Millennium Unlimited, Awards for All, and since then it's been a lot more difficult with the collection. We're doing some work with the Whitworth Art Gallery. There's a Mary Kelly retrospective, and I'm going to be holding a series of workshops where I get women to explore representations around childbirth, and it's going to be over 8 weeks and one day a week. So we're looking for people who'd be interested in that. And the Whitworth have been fantastic in supporting stuff around the collection. But we did actually apply for some funding to extend this work, and, you know, we didn't get it. And I'm sure it's just the economic climate is just as, you know, the way it is at the moment. It's very difficult. So, yeah, but we're trying lots of different routes as well. And we're trying to make the collection generate its own money as well, because we want curators to start using it, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to loan out works, and, you know, we just want it to be used as much as possible, but also, you know, have its own income as well as, you know, relying on public funding, really.
Now we're getting towards the last 5 minutes of the programme. I was keen to ask each of the participants how quickly they return to making work after their having a child, and how was that return, starting with you, Hermione?
Oh, it's still very difficult. It's still quite difficult, just because of the not just because of the logistics, but because of the kind of psychological work that I think that I have to do to kind of have that kind of psychic part of myself that's able to think and react to ideas and difficult concepts, find difficulties, if you like, interrogate difficulties, and the other side of the kind of psychic part of me, which greatly desires to look after and bring up my own two children with my partner.
How about you, Eleanor?
Well, it is difficult. I feel a duality here. I mean, when I first gave birth, I took a lot of pictures. Not a lot, but I took pictures. Then I stopped for a while. And what got me back to it was a new cell phone with a camera, I'm ashamed to say, because I started taking pictures with a cell phone. I was, like, breastfeeding two children at the same time. I couldn't take pictures. And I think now there is an urgency that parents, I think, experience, not only photographers or artists. I just feel how time flies. My kids are the same age, and I know I'm not going to have more children. So some of taking pictures is just the fear of time passing by and they growing up so quickly, which is, I know, something that many parents feel, and that's why they take so many pictures of their children. So I feel the same as an artist.
How about you, Helen? How long did it take you, or how much time did you give yourself not making work?
I don't think I gave myself very much time, but it's actually only now. My oldest son is 9, and it's kind of in the last 2 years that I've really started to practice again. But the thing is, when I say that, the whole time, you know, you're absorbed in you know, thinking about your work, and, you know, it's all like research that's just there in your head. You know, whether you're actually producing or whether you're just thinking, you know, it's all. I mean, so I don't know. I don't really. Personally, I don't really kind of divorce these things. It's always there all the way through. But, it's in the last 2 years that I've sort of really started to kind of, like, go into the studio and just, like, you know, make, I suppose, as opposed to kind of... my time was a bit more segregated before, in a sense. And so I'd make work at certain times, but now it's starting to become more fluid.
Is that something you can identify with, Hermione? Or?
Yes, I think it has to be. Well, for me, it has to be all on the same site. The whole activity has to be in the same place, same apartment as my family as well. Sort of live-work situation is the only place that'll happen. I mean, also actually where I teach at the Royal College of Art is also. Now, when you're a lecturer in a university in UK, you absolutely have to engage with your own practice as part of your contract as teaching. So there, it's also very supportive of working.
Okay, well, that's we're almost the time's almost up. I just wanted to tell you about next week's programme. Next week's programme is the final show in this series, and the visual artist Martina Mullaney will be joined by Camilla Brown. She's a senior curator at the Photographers Gallery, and Rachel Anderson from Art Angel, and they'll be talking about the career choices women still have to make in relation to work and family and family balance. So do join Enemies of Good Art at 4 o'clock next Friday for that.